I think before I wanted to start sharing, just make one exciting announcement. I think all of us probably know, but we have a newlywed couple in our midst. They are married. They're not together now, but they're married. Let's give them a nice round of applause. And we're super happy for you guys. We're excited. They got married early in January. It was such a blow, obviously, with as far as I understand, with the regulations and lockdown that happened. But we're super excited for you guys. I'm excited that we have more married couples joining the church. Now we feel a little bit older. Come on. Okay, let's quickly pray for them. Let's stretch out our hands and just pray that God would bless them with this new venture. Now, God, we thank you for this couple, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the fact that you place them together, Lord, and that you place us together for a purpose. You don't just do it willy-nilly. You don't just do it for the heck of it, Lord. But you do it because you have a purpose for us together. And for Dom and Megan, Lord, where they're standing here tonight, God, I thank you that you have a purpose with their lives. Thank you that you love them. Thank you that you will carry them through every season that they go through. And thank you that as they walk through these seasons, Lord, nice ones, not so nice ones, mediocre ones, as they walk through them and they hold on to you, you will make them stronger and you will make them more and more effective for your kingdom. So I pray your blessing upon them, Lord. I pray that as they spend time with people, that they would be a blessing to the people around them. And I pray for quick growth in their marriage, a quick solidifying in their marriage. May it be an absolute blessing to them and to us who are around them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we're very excited for you guys. If anyone else wanted to get married, you can make a plan quickly. Anyone in here? No one? All right. I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm going to share a message with you tonight. It feels like, you know what I said, if you're out of practice with something, I felt extremely nervous to get preaching because it's been, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. And this afternoon, kind of took our Sunday afternoon nap. It's basically Jesus, the Bible, and naps. Really important things in your life. You need to do it. And I always say Jesus took naps, so we should take naps. It is really, it says it in the Bible, so we need to follow the example of Jesus. So we took a nap, and somewhere in the nap, I just woke up like, I'm preaching tonight, and I haven't preached in a while. And you know what they say? You know the butterflies in your tummy? You guys have experienced the butterflies in your tummy, eh? They say that those butterflies don't really go away. They just learn to fly in sync. And I think mine used to fly in sync quite a bit, and now it's sort of not flying in sync anymore. But that's okay. Anyway, I've just got a few random thoughts. Maybe it's going to be nice. Maybe I've got this mic again. We'll be here for another hour, hour and a half, now that I've got the opportunity again. But I want to actually encourage you. I don't know why I'm sharing this. But I know there's a couple of you sitting here, and you are very scared of this thing. You're afraid of this thing. You don't like speaking of this thing. This is a big crowd for you, and you don't want to do it. Anyone that's honest enough to say this is a bit intimidating for you, like speaking in front of people. Okay? I would encourage you, don't think that that's not necessary for you. Just because you're scared of something doesn't mean that God can change it. God can really change us. He does. And if God has a purpose for you, He really will make even your desires change. He'll make your fears not necessarily go away, but He'll give you the courage to face your fears. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I think there might be a couple of you who actually need to stand up in front of people and speak. And you're nervous, but God wants to say, the fear's not going to go away, but if you stick with me, maybe the fear will subside a little bit. The butterflies will learn to fly and sing. So don't say, I will never do it. Never say never with God, okay? I've learned to say, I'm not going to say, I'm never going back to Joburg. Because if you say that, God will find a way. God will find a way. So never say, I'm not going to speak in front of people, I'm never going to pick up a mic, okay? Because God will find a way to do that thing again. It's a good thing. So I don't know for who that is, but maybe there's someone that needed to hear that tonight. So I'm going to share a message. I can't put the title up there, but if you wanted to try and remember it, it's a sort of a James Bond 007 title. It is Stirred, Not Shaken. Anyone watch James Bond ever in your life? Okay. It's actually the other way around with James Bond. He said, shaken, not stirred, when he speaks of his martini, and he just said it in such a cool manner. I just, as a young child, I thought, whatever that is, it sounds so cool. I didn't even know what a martini was. But shaken, not stirred. That's how he drinks it. But I just want to switch it around to speak about that we as Christians should be stirred for more of God and not shaken by the things of this world. So, stirred, not shaken. I want to start off by a story. I might have shared it before, but about, it was 2019, August of 2019, I did this bicycle thing that they call Trans-Bobby Arms. And it's 230 kilometers that you cycle on your mountain bike. 230 kilometers. You have 24 hours. It's quite far. Okay. It's not just me. Maybe you guys are tough. You think it's not far. I think it's really far, for me at least. And I said that I'm going to do it. I was probably the only person there, me and the partner and friend that did it with me, with a hardtail mountain bike. A hardtail is if you don't have a shock at the back. And it was absolutely, absolutely horrible. It was really horrible. I had to go to the doctor afterwards, just to put it lightly, because I sat on my bicycle for 16 and a half hours. I was on my bicycle and I had to go to the doctor and say, something's not right. Everything doesn't feel right. Yeah, I'm going to stop there. But it was really difficult. It was probably one of the worst days in my life, like physically speaking. It was really difficult. You start at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I think we finished at 2:30 the next morning. And so you cycle in the night. It's like your bicycle breaks, you get a flat tire, you run out of food. It was just there. It's 16 and a half hours that you sit on that tiny little seat. It was horrible. But it was also very nice. And the only reason that I actually enjoyed it was because I told myself before, Leonard, this is going to be the most horrible day of your life. Only because I did it, I could actually enjoy the day. Because on the day, as I knew what was coming, I knew it was going to be actually really difficult and really horrible. I wasn't shocked by what I experienced, but I was like, hey, this is actually maybe not the worst day of my life, maybe second worst, but not the worst. And so I could actually enjoy it a little bit. And you know what, in Christianity, I think sometimes we tend to want to make too light of things. We want to put rose-colored glasses on and think if you walk with Jesus, everything is just always going to be okay. But the Bible doesn't say that, Jesus doesn't say that, and pastors shouldn't say that. It shouldn't be the only messages that we preach. We shouldn't be like, if you walk with Jesus, here are 10 steps for a better life. 10 steps to be a better you by Friday. 10 steps and everything else in life will be okay. We shouldn't be like that as Christians. And I think the temptation for me coming into this year, I thought, okay, God, this is our first Sunday together. What is on your heart? What do you want to say to your people? Like, there's so much going on in the world. Surely you want to say, everything is going to be okay this year. That's what prophets normally say, don't they? Some of them. And I thought, like, surely that's what you want to say. And I just experienced that, no, that's not the right thing to say. And I don't want to bring a heavy message tonight. Honestly, I don't want to. I want you to have a very lucky 2021. I do. Better than 2020. Amen. Any amens there? Okay. People, you're excited. We have to go back to the wavy hand thing because I can't see your faces. I don't know if you're listening. I don't know if you're angry at me or smiling. I have no clue. So, all some glories now and then, or hallelujahs. We need to get that into the church. Just some hallelujah. Amen. No? Then I know that you guys are listening. But I want you to have a good 2021. But in order to have a good 2021, I actually want to warn you that 2021 is going to be difficult.
Amen.
Amen. Because if you know that it's going to be difficult, then when the difficulty comes, you're not going to be caught off guard by it. You're going to be like, oh, wow, this isn't as difficult as I anticipated. Actually, I can enjoy this ride called 2021. Because there we go. 2020, for me, was quite a difficult year. Anyone else? I'm doing it a lot because I can't see your faces. Okay. You don't have to do it all, sorry. But 2021 for me was quite a difficult year. And We started this church, it was exciting, and then COVID hit, and everything was topsy-turvy, lopsided. It was quite a difficult year. It was frustrating at times. I mean, it was good as well. Kamba's pregnant now, we're expecting twins, that's exciting. So we had our good parts, but we also had some really difficult parts in 2020. And coming into 2021, I sort of thought, phew, 2020 is over, 2020 fun can begin. And I've realized that that is not the right approach. As Christians, we should not always be looking for the easy way out. We should be saying, God, whatever comes, we want to learn to see you in the good and in the bad. And we should be prepared even for the difficult times. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 to 13. Listen to this insight from Peter the Apostle. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you." Because that's, I think, how we sometimes feel. Difficult things come. It's like a trial that comes. And then we are surprised. When Peter said, do not be surprised when it's difficult. Don't be surprised. Expect it to be difficult. It comes upon you to test you. Don't be surprised. Anyway, as though something strange were happening to you. It's not a strange thing happen to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Now, I wish 2021 could be an easier year. But if I listen to the scripture, if I take scripture to heart, I need to be like, God, it would be nice if it's a bit better than 2020, but even if it's difficult, I do not want to be surprised. I want to look for you, even in the difficulty. And I want you, this is what the end of the scripture says, I want you to be revealed in me through the difficulty. That should be our heart to Christians. That when difficulty comes, when we can't take off these masks that I so dearly want to take off, always, I hate putting these things on, when we can't be together like we wanted to be together as a church, when we can't see our family, when we see family going through difficulties, when we hear of people being sick, then Christ's light should shine through us, because we shouldn't be surprised. But we should be like, God, I don't want to be shaken, I want to seek you even in the difficulty. And let that be said of us, Stanley's PM in 2021. Andrew said, shared a message yesterday, and I don't know if all of you are able to listen to the online 412 gathering. We had an online service for those of you who couldn't follow it. It was yesterday afternoon. We fasted for 24 hours, which I find quite difficult, but this was probably one of my better fasts. It wasn't too bad for me. I'm scared to say I enjoyed it, but it was okay. We fasted for 24 hours, and then we broke that fast by watching an online gathering of churches all over the world. We watched it together, and Andrew said he shared one of the messages there, and he used the scripture that I want to use tonight, and I want to go through it slowly but surely, bit by bit. I want to unpack it a little bit. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 26 to 27, "At that time, his voice," this is God's voice, "shook the earth, but now he," God, "has promised." This is a promise from God. Okay, all God's promises aren't fluffy. All of them aren't nice. Sometimes he promises us difficult things in this life, but thankfully he's with us. But this is what he promised. "Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." God promises shaking. Here's a promise for you. 2021 will have shaking in it. Every single one of you will be shaken in 2021. I will be shaken. You will be shaken. You will be shaken. All of you need to be shaken. All of us will be shaken in 2021. And it says specifically that God not only will shake the earth, and we'll speak about that now, speaking of the things of this world, the politics, the finances, the economy, he's not only going to shake that, but he's even going to shake the heavens. He's going to shake the spiritual matters. He's going to shake church. He's going to shake Christians. God promised that he will come in and he will bring shaking. And we'll speak about why God does that now. The verse continues, verse 27. This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, the things that have been made. And listen to this. "In order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Why does God shake? So that only that which is from Him, which is stable, which is secure, will remain. You see, when you shake something, you test its roots. You test its foundation. And if you shake something and it falls over, then that thing's foundation was not right, or the root system is not right. We just moved to a different house, and outside there are four olive trees. And it's a strange thing. I think when the people planted these trees, they were small. So they had this idea of these small little trees. But now they've grown into massive trees. Well, reasonably massive, like about this high. But yeah, like quite massive. Don't want to over-exaggerate. I don't want to be like a fella. Joking. All the AM people are here. Just kidding. They're just kidding. Don't want to over-exaggerate. Anyway, the trees are about yeah. And we want to get rid of these trees because now you can't walk on the path where you want to walk into the house. So it's like a bit awkward. You have to prune them in the whole time. You have to sort of squeeze through if you walk into the house. So we want to remove these things. And yesterday, my brother-in-law came. And they want to maybe take two of these trees and put them at their house. So we thought, okay, cool, you can have them. Otherwise, you can chop them down. And it was so interesting. My brother-in-law, to check the root system, to check how easy they would be to remove, he went to one of the trees and he shook the tree. And you could actually see the tree shaking and some of the roots pulling up out of the ground, these big roots. And then he went to the next one and he shook on it while he tried to shake on it. And it was unshakable in a sense because the roots went down deep. And it was grounded and rooted like it should be. You see, when you shake something, you are able to determine the health of the root. You're able to determine whether that thing is solid, whether it's stable. And God is the one that comes into shape. It's not COVID. COVID is a thing. Yes, COVID is a difficult thing. But we as Christians even need to see the hand of God even beyond difficult things. God will use anything to come to his people and shake to see what is rooted in him and what is not properly rooted. And so in that sense, as Christians, we should be like, God, I embrace your shaking. I embrace 2020 and I embrace 2021 because out of it, you are going to show me what needs to be properly rooted in you, what in me is not rooted in you. This holiday, Andrew yesterday, he set an example of how he was shaken recently. And that's like, Andrew, I quite look up to him. And we had a discussion yesterday saying, yes, if Andrew realizes that there are parts of him that's not rooted properly, what about me? Anyone ever felt like that? Feel like, oh man, if the pastor struggles with that, then what about me? And you know what? All of us are human beings, all of us. And all of us have our struggles. That's not the point of it. But Andrew shared this story, and I thought this holiday for me, there was a bit of shaking that we actually went through. And you know what? It's not nice because it shows you the bad parts of it. And none of us like to see the bad parts. None of us like to see that we aren't as rooted in Jesus as we thought we were. It's not a lack of thing. So this holiday, we went to visit my family in Joburg, and as we flew there, we think we got COVID on the airport. We're not sure. We have no clue. Because we were with people before and none of them were infected. None of them got sick afterwards. So we can't imagine where else we would have gotten it than from the airport. We went to visit our family. Carla started feeling a little bit sick, but we thought, oh man, it's just pregnancy. It's just hormones. She feels sick a lot. Well, sort of a lot. I don't want to exaggerate again. But now she feels a bit sick. So we thought, okay, it's just normal, it's probably just pregnancy, but the next day I started feeling, I feel like I'm standing closer to you guys now. The next day I started feeling a little bit sick, and we thought, this is strange, we're not sure, maybe it's just a bit of a flu. So we went to the doctor, and the doctor had a look, he specifically looked at her, because we thought, Chuck, she's pregnant, let's just have a look at this. And he said, could be COVID, could it be, maybe not COVID, we're not sure. But it's fine, probably not COVID, gave us some antibiotics that's safe to use. And so we thought, okay, that's fine. Then the next morning, she brought me coffee in bed. She's playing back for 3 years of me bringing her coffee in bed. So that morning, she brought me coffee in bed, which is quite nice. I actually quite enjoyed it. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But as she brought coffee to bed, she said, "Lena, I can't smell the coffee." And I thought, oh no, Lexi, Miss Rona is here with us. And so we immediately changed our flight tickets, and we were like, we're not sure if it's this, but we fled where we were staying. We like, because we can't be in the house with my family, and it's the only place we could stay, so we wanted to get away from there. And then we were quite worried at first. That was our first Christmas that we were alone, which wasn't quite nice. We had to self-isolate because we thought it was probably COVID. And then we were like, I don't know, but me specifically, I get quite nervous with the babies for some reason. I think I get more nervous than cuddle. I read up the whole time. Before every scan, it feels like I can't sit still. I can't stop thinking about it. I get completely nervous. And so I was quite nervous with her being pregnant and being twins, and there's so little research. So I was a bit freaked out. Then, just a bit after that, we found out that my mom started showing symptoms. And she went to test, and she is 62 years old, and she tested positive. And I thought, oh no, this is horrible. And then 2-3 days, or I think 1 or 2 days later, we found out that my grandmother started showing symptoms. My grandmother is, I think, 88 or 87. And that gave us a bit of a shock. So that wasn't nice, and we were quite nervous, and we were on the phone the whole time. And then we found out that my aunt started showing symptoms. And so unknowingly, we unfortunately infected them. We just had no clue, and we weren't too close to them. We unfortunately infected them. And that aunt ended up in hospital for about 3 evenings, and she was on permanent oxygen for about 3 weeks, that she had to keep the oxygen. If she stood up to go to the toilet, the oxygen levels dropped. And so it was quite a stressful time. We were on the phone the whole time. And you know what, it was a time of shaking. It wasn't a nice time for me. I was nervous. And the strange thing is, I said to Carla, for some reason, I kept thinking of dying for some reason. I think maybe it's because of the babies, and I want to be there for their birth, and I'm excited for it. And just being confronted with hearing of people that died. We have the deputy headmaster of Paul Ruiz, and now he was just one of the teachers, eh? Deputy headmaster. And Paul Ruiz that passed away. Hearing of other school headmasters in Worcester passing away. And just everywhere you started hearing of people dying. I think just the shaking in me, I started being afraid of dying. And you know what, as Christians, I know the right answer is to say, if I die, it's fine. I want to be with Jesus. Being with Jesus is better than being on the earth. That's an easy thing to say. But when you feel like death is coming closer, and it wasn't even really coming closer, but I started getting so nervous. My chest was straining for about 3 days. I walked around like a very old man. And I started getting nervous. I'm like, shucks, what if something happens? What if I die? What if it catches me? I'm 50, but it could still catch me quite badly. And I was just extremely nervous, and the shaking revealed in me that I'm not where Jesus wants me. I get afraid of dying, and I shouldn't. I should hold on to Jesus in those times. But you know what the good thing is? Now I know, and now I can do something about it. And so when shaking happens this year, don't see it as a bad thing. See it as a way that Jesus is showing you, because he wants you to be properly rooted in him, and he will come and show you. So back to the scripture. It says, I'm just going to go back to that part, we can't have it up yet, but it says, yet once more, God promises, I will shake. You see, we should not look at COVID, blame bad government, blame your friend, blame your family. You shouldn't blame God, but you should see the hand of God and say, God, I look for the fact that you are shaking, and I see it as something from you, because it says, I will shake. And then it says, I will shake not only the earth. And I want to go through a scripture. It's quite a lengthy one, so you're going to have to listen to me. If you have your Bible, if you have a Bible app, you can maybe actually take it out quickly. If you don't have it, that's fine. You can go sit next to a Christian. Hey? It's 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 28. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, if you have it with you. If you don't have it, totally fine. You can Google it as well. You can Google 2 Corinthians 11. You should find it there. And if you can choose the translation, choose the ESV, the translation Jesus read. And we'll read out of it now. You guys are so quiet. Okay. Now, listen to Paul. This is Paul explaining that his earth was shaken. Like things around him shook. Listen to the approach of Paul the Apostle. And let's try and be like that. Let's imitate Paul as he imitated Christ. You got it? Okay. So is this the looking? Genesis, Exodus, 2 Corinthians. You got it? Okay. Says, he's defending the fact that he's an apostle. And he says, are they servants of Christ? Speaking of these false apostles. And he says, I am the better one. Like, chill, Paul, calm down, calm down. He says, I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Paul was being shaken. He's explaining that his world was shaken. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. I think he means 39 lashes. Many Christians today, if that happened to them, if they got lashed from the authorities, they would put up posters about police brutality. But Paul wasn't like that. He's like, he sees the hand of God even behind it. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and not the stone that some of you are thinking about. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers. And he didn't start protesting about global warming. He did not. He did not call Greta Thunberg, however you say her surname. Danger from robbers. And he didn't leave the country because it was too unsafe. His eyes weren't on those things. Danger from my own people. Danger from Gentiles. He didn't start a Facebook group for anti-Semitism. Danger in the city. Danger in the wilderness. Danger at sea. Danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship. Through many a sleepless night. In hunger and in thirst. Often without food. In cold and exposure, and he didn't stand up for the poor, saying he didn't look after me. That wasn't where his eyes were at. His eyes were on God. And apart from other things, there is the daily pleasure on me and my anxiety for all the churches. Then you can go to verse 32. Just go on a little bit. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. So the government tried to seize him, and he didn't stand up and say Zuma must fall, or what, Aretas must fall. He didn't do that. It's not where his eyes were at. His eyes were on the kingdom. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. Then you can go to 2 Corinthians 12, so it's just the next chapter, from verse 7. So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh. Now, I'm quite certain that speaks about sickness. Paul had a sickness, some sickness, that he couldn't get rid of, so his world was really shaken. A messenger of Satan to harass me, speaking of the sickness, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. When your world is shaking this year, when finances come tumbling, when your family becomes sick, when your friends become sick, when the university closes, when you lose your job, when we can't have church, God says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. When we can't, then he is strong. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Last verse. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What is Paul teaching us? When things around us shake, when we feel weak, then in God we can be strong. We need to lean into God in times of difficulty. Listen to me, church. This isn't your typical woo-ha first preach of a church coming together for the first time in a year. This time, this year, we'll have difficulties. Lean into God. Find Him in the midst of difficulties. And then, that's the previous scripture we read that says that God will also shake the heavens, meaning even our spiritual lives might be shaken, not only the things of this world. And I want to read to you another verse. It's again, sorry, I'm reading a lot. I don't normally try and do that because we tend to keep lasting. But Acts 16, verse 25, you can open there. Acts 16, verse 25. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Acts. We'll find it there. Okay. Acts 16, verse 25. It's in the New Testament. It's just after the Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You'll find it there. Now listen to this. Paul's spiritual life is shaken here. But just look at his approach. It's quite amazing. So Paul and Silas were in prison. They weren't able to have church. The others were gathering, they couldn't. And many times we might feel like that again. Yeah, I'm hoping not, but we might actually feel like that. But look at this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. How amazing that even when their spiritual lives were shaken, even when they were doing the work of God, they were put in jail and they couldn't get it, they were still seeking God. I want to encourage you, if this time that we couldn't have church, if it shook you and you feel far away from God, run to Him, run back to Him. Because yes, church is important, but we should also be able to seek God even when our spiritual lives are shaken. We should even be able to seek God then, praise Him then, and then we will be a testimony like they were to these prisoners. Listen to what happened. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. The reason he wanted to kill himself was, if you were regarded in a prison and the prisoner escaped, then you got the death penalty. You were killed if that happened. So he was going to die. He thought that he would just kill himself then. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for light and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and they were baptized at once, he and all his family. What an incredible testimony. So Paul, his spiritual life gets shaken, but he uses an example to shine the light of Jesus Christ to the world, to keep seeking God, to not fall away from Him. If we can't get there as a church this year, then we'll find ways to keep seeking God. Okay? Are you with me, Matt?
Yeah.
We want to be a light to this world. Religion is when you go on a Sunday and you go home afterwards and nothing changes. Religion is when Sundays get taken away and you think, well, whatever, that's fine. Relationship, and a living relationship with God, you say, if you take it away from me, then I'll find another way. If you take it away from me, I won't stop. You can try and take it away from me. One is external, one is an internal value that you carry on the inside. And your relationship with God, if you know God properly, then your relationship with God should be something that is a value on the inside. That doesn't matter what happens, you say, you will keep seeking me. Listen, if they stop us having church again, then we'll do it in small groups if we can do that. We'll make ways. We'll invite one person over, we'll still have church, we'll still get together. We'll watch the online sermons together. Where we can't do that, we'll still dedicate that time to the Lord. We'll still seek Him in the Word. We'll still seek Him in prayer. We'll use technology, even if it sucks sometimes, to gather on Zoom again. We'll do it because it's a value, and we won't allow it to be shaken. We want to be properly rooted, even in our spiritual lives. So I'm going to end with this. 2021 will be a time of shaking. But let us be stirred. Stirred that in the shaking, we say, God, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to seek you. If I don't have money, you are my provision. If I lose family, you are my family. I'm not saying this lightly. You are my family. If I lose Stellenbosch, you are my home. But we will be stirred to keep on seeking God, even in a time of shaking. Let's pray. Now you can stand.